Democrat Steve Israel represented Nassau County in Congress for 16 years, but he shocked the political establishment when he announced he would not seek re-election this year, citing Washington's dysfunctional politics and the constant demands of fundraising. Israel recently sat down with WNYC to get a candid look at not only the problems in Washington, but also how to fix them. The conversation started with the all-important topic of money.
I actually went back and calculated the amount of time that I spent on fundraising. I spent 4,200 hours in a cubicle calling people, dialing for dollars. Sometimes you have one cell phone. Sometimes you do what's called double dialing or triple dialing. You're talking to one person. Your finance assistant has a second person on the line waiting and has already dialed the third person. And it is just a grind. But it's a grinding of democracy. There are two reasons why campaigns have become as expensive as they are. The first is the Citizens United decision. And I would lose sleep at night knowing that sometime between the time I tried to go to sleep and the time I'd wake up the next morning, some super PAC representing some corporation or some cause would dump in $500,000, $750,000, $1 million, and completely change the trajectory of that race. The second reason, which is not talked enough about, is that if you are in a competitive district in an expensive media market, it becomes very profitable for television radio stations. We haven't spent enough time trying to figure out how we can incentivize media entities and corporations to reduce the cost of campaign advertising in those markets. Ultimately, I think you have to have a level playing field, and we should have public financing and return democracy to voters. And this is not a radical idea. It's being done by Republican states and Democratic states. But I don't see how there's any hope for any kind of serious reform until the people of this country have had enough, are fed up, and begin to effectively pressure their member of Congress to make a difference.
Israel says one way to fix Congress is more competitive House districts. He blames gerrymandering for contributing to politics at the extremes.
Let me bring you behind the scenes to the inner sanctum to explain why redistricting is another very serious problem with Congress. I'd ride the members-only elevator to the floor of the House, and this is what I would hear Republicans say. I wish I could vote for you, but if I vote with you Democrats, I'll get a primary from the Tea Party in my district in Alabama or Mississippi or wherever it was. And so Congress got so polarized on the right. In fairness, if you have a very progressive district, if it's been redistricted to protect you as a Democrat, you don't wake up in the morning worried about a challenge from a Republican. You wake up every morning worried about a challenge from your far left. There's several things we can do. I was a co-sponsor of a bill that would create a national redistricting commission. Every congressional district has to have a roughly equivalent number of people. And so you draw districts based on how many people that is, divided by how many seats in Congress that you have, without regard to incumbency protection. Were we to do that, we would have not 45 competitive districts, but probably 100 or 125, maybe 150 competitive districts. And when we used to have that, by the way, you did have more compromise, more consensus, and more collaboration on Capitol Hill. We had nonpartisan redistricting on Long Island. In New York State, the courts decided on our congressional districts based on nonpartisanship. And so you had a significant number of competitive races in New York because the districts were drawn more towards the middle.
Lobbyists are a fact of life in Washington, D.C., but Steve Israel says their hidden activities are a problem. The mix of money and influence affects Congress's ability to get things done.
You know, everybody hates lobbyists except for the lobbyists for the cause that you like. So I don't want to make a carte blanche statement that all lobbying is bad. The Constitution allows you to petition your grievances to the Congress. Where it gets inappropriate is the connection between lobbyists and political action committees. For example, I could sit with a corporation in my office who asked me to vote against the $40 billion in subsidies that we give to oil companies every 10 years. And I could say, no, I'm going to vote against those subsidies. I'm going to continue to vote against those subsidies. And a lobbyist can show up at one of my fundraising events and say, I've given you a PAC contribution. I hope you'll reconsider. And I can say, I will not reconsider. And that lobbyist can have a conversation with some super PAC that can then spend unlimited amounts of money on television, on radio, in my district, defeating me in the next election. That is poisonous. And something needs to be done about that. We have to sever the connection of lobbying to political action committees and to fundraising. I don't know of a single member of Congress Republican or Democrat, who had made a decision or cast a vote based on a PAC contribution or based on a favor to a lobbyist. I just didn't see that. But the fact of the matter is that many of those lobbyists have access to members of Congress so that they can press their argument. And that sense that the American people have, that the first person who's going to be listened to is a lobbyist with a PAC, is what has deteriorated people's faith in democracy right now.
Israel is retiring after 16 years in Congress, in part because the Capitol's hyperpartisan politics were so frustrating it made him want to leave. Here's why Republicans and Democrats find it so hard to agree and the issue that could change that.
My most exhilarating and also depressing experience in the United States Congress was when I formed something called the House Center Aisle Caucus. I formed it with a moderate Republican from Springfield, Illinois, named Tim Johnson. And we decided that we were sick and tired of disagreeing and screaming at one another. We met on Monday nights at a local Chinese restaurant because everybody could agree on cheap Chinese food. Here's what we learned. Democrats and Republicans are going to disagree 75% of the time. That's okay. The problem with Washington is that we agree on 25% in the balance. But we spend all our time beating ourselves up over the 75% where we're never going to get agreement. Then the Tea Party wave hit the beach. And I had so many Republicans coming up to me saying, "Steve, I can't come to your Center Aisle Caucus meeting anymore." Why? "Well, my primary opponent is using it against me in literature back home." And so instead of having 25 Democrats and 25 Republicans, during the Tea Party surge, we ended up having about 20 Democrats and 2 Republicans, and it went out of business. I do believe that there can be a realignment in American politics, not to the left, not to the right, but towards the middle. And I'm not talking about a philosophical middle. I'm talking about the middle class. For the first time since the 1930s, if you're in the middle class, you're in a minority of Americans. And whichever party can tap into the anxieties of those middle class voters constructively will find very significant electoral success and policy success for the next generation or maybe more.
Congress has strict rules about decorum, but Steve Israel says you need to make a fuss if you want to force Congress to listen.
Now, people think if you want to express yourself effectively to a member of Congress, you write a letter or make a phone call. Well, let me tell you how those are treated in virtually every congressional office. Not all, but virtually all. You call a member of Congress, either in the Washington office or the local office, and an intern is likely to answer the phone. The intern listens to the complaint or the suggestion or the position that the constituent has. And in my case, I would get a report every week from my legislative correspondent. How much mail did we get? How many phone calls? What were the issues? That's interesting. But I'm not sure it's particularly effective in persuading or dissuading a member of Congress. What worked for the Tea Party, what changed the composition of American politics, what won the House and the Senate for the Republicans, was the Tea Party strategy in 2009, going into 2010, where they just showed up at town meetings and they yelled. And they got members of Congress's attention. They created these optics, changed the whole nature of town hall meetings. They used to be real sleepy and boring, and hardly anybody came to a town hall. But suddenly, thousands of people were crashing town hall meetings, and they were demanding an end to Obamacare. And so for my friends who are centrists and progressives, my advice is take a play out of that playbook. You want campaign finance reform? You want to protect the environment? You want to strengthen Social Security? You want affordable education? Do what the Tea Party did to Democrats. Show up at town hall meetings and make your voice heard. When enough members of Congress start feeling enough heat at their own town hall meetings, that's when you'll see some change.
That's Congressman Steve Israel, a Long Island Democrat who's retiring after 16 years on Capitol Hill. For WNYC, I'm John O'Connor in Washington.